You're listening to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where we celebrate and accelerate collaborative gospel work in cities around the world.
We believe God is already at work in your city. We're here to help you ask, what is God doing where I live, and how can I join in?
If you love your city, love the church, and believe God can do amazing things in your city, you're in the right place.
Let's get started.
Seeing with this new generation is that they don't want big companies to define them. They know who they are and they're going to stand for that. And that's a very deep consumer insight. Basically, companies are begging for their time now. It's not about I wear this nice brand on me. It's about, no, this brand helps define my holistic identity. And so if Christians are tackling and saying like, no, you need to be this way, you need to believe this way, people don't care about it. They don't want someone telling them what to do. They want to be collaborators. They want to co-create.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the City Gospel Movement's podcast. I am so excited for you to meet a good friend and just amazing woman named Jess Chin. She's here in the studio with me today. And I just want to give you a little bit of background on Jess, and then we will jump into a really exciting conversation. So Jess is currently the global digital marketing manager at a large retailer, and she is driven by her dual passions of consumer-driven insight and social impact. Jess previously led a retail expansion of a Fortune 100 company in China, where she designed and implemented platforms with seamless interactions. She recently had a blast driving the World Cup 2018 campaign with another corporation and has just seen incredible success in her career. So she's going to have a really interesting and valuable perspective as it comes to what it looks like for Christians to engage in urban contexts. She's also living in the Portland area currently. She has a little baby boy named Josh and her husband, Matt. Jess, it's so great to have you on the podcast.
Hi, it's so excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, thanks for taking the time. I love your perspective when it comes to Christians engaging on mission. And so let's jump in. You know, one of the things that our team loves to hear are these aha moments in life where your vision expands and you realize, wow, Jesus is calling me more than just to go to church or to care about a personal relationship with Jesus. But it's my faith impacts more and I'm a part of a bigger global story. Yeah. Can you share a little bit of maybe one or two of those aha moments in your life?
Yeah, definitely. I've had a few of those. I would say when I graduated from college and I was immediately kind of brought into that Fortune 100 company, that tech company, and was just planning on staying in the Bay Area, staying in California, doing the church thing, really happy about that setup. And then that company decided to send me to Asia, to a place I had never been before, never imagined going to. And when I was there, I would say that's really where God met me. I ended up meeting some women on the street that were in the red light district. Some doing massages and just managed to share the gospel with them. Saw their eyes light up as I was able to speak their language. I was able to do a heart connection around some deep inner wounds that they had. And I actually saw for the first time in my life someone come to faith. And someone come and accept Jesus into their heart. And for me, it really sparked a whole bigger picture of what God was doing in the world and what God was personally calling me to, specifically around women empowerment, women lives in Asia. And so that's really where my original thought of just working in the small Bay Area expanded to my personal culture. I'm Chinese by nature. I was born in Taiwan. And there is something about having a broader heart for that culture and also just that I'm personally equipped, made for having that dialogue and also bring Jesus into people's lives that have never heard it before.
I think that's so fantastic. And I think God really does that. He puts you in places and you realize, I was tailor-made for this.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit more about that season of life. You know, you're working in Asia and you end up meeting your husband. And what is it like to kind of realize, I want to start spiritual conversations just in my natural flow of life? Mm.
Yeah, I would say the workplace was a big one. It's really interesting. The dilemma that we have in the U.S. corporation, I would say talking about Christianity, talking about Jesus is a very hush-hush. You feel a little embarrassed to bring that up. But for some reason, when you're abroad, especially in Asian countries, there is a peak interest. You're from America, they immediately tie, oh, could you tell me more about your faith?
Really?
And I was shocked over and over again as coworkers were just a bit blunt about talking about and asking about my church, what I do, what that means to me, and what that kind of defined me growing up. And so just having those open conversations naturally with coworkers in the workplace. I remember handing Mere Christianity to one of my coworkers, and she devoured it in a week and asked if she could come over to my place and study John 1. And we started doing that. And it just naturally came that she came to faith within 3 months.
Wow.
It was amazing. And I just see that, yeah, when you yourself are put out in settings that you're not comfortable in, and you're also in a culture where, yeah, there are no barriers to talking about Christianity because it's completely different to them. It really allows for that kind of openness to the gospel and something I've never seen before.
That is amazing. And wow, okay, so you then came back to the States and are in that kind of U.S. culture, workforce, where it is very hush-hush. I mean, I think people probably listening are like, what? People in Asia are just so hungry to talk about faith. Tell us about that transition and the juxtaposition.
Yeah, our journey brought us back to MBA. So we actually came back to Kellogg, Northwestern, to do an MBA study. While there, I would say we joined a Christian fellowship. We also had some pretty amazing dialogue with some local Chinese who are also doing their MBA. And actually, three of them came to Christ during our season in our MBA. That's a whole nother story. But I would say when I started working in that big retailer company and I was doing strategy work, I would say I didn't tell anyone I was a believer. And that, I think, is a bit jarring and disconcerting to have to say that because I was just so evangelistic when I was abroad. Mm-hmm. Everyone, the taxi driver, everyone, I would just try to tell about Jesus, and I was so passionate. But for some reason, there was this dilemma in me and this paradox of, oh, I'm back in my home base. Mm-hmm. I'm a little more uncomfortable. My career may be on the line. It's really uncool to talk about Jesus in the workplace. So I'm just going to be a little more hush-hush about it. And so I would definitely say that at least the first 6 months to a year, none of my coworkers knew that I went to church on Sundays, which is insane when you think about the life I had just lived abroad.
Yeah, yeah. Did it get to a point where you were a little bit or a lot fearful to even say, I think it's been too long, to then finally open up and say, this is actually a really important part of my life?
Yeah, I definitely had a lot of conversations with my pastor about it, about, man, why can't I just open up about this? It's an abnormal fear that I feel like exists. I would say God broke through in one moment. I think a lot of it was I didn't know any other believers in the workplace.
Okay, yeah.
And so two instances, I just felt really isolated. And because of that, I didn't really have a lot of opportunity to express my faith outside of just being by myself. And so God brought two specific believers into my midst without me trying. The second one literally was by happen chance. We were both sitting in the cafeteria. And she was sitting next to me, and I saw that she was wearing a bracelet and had a cross on it, a heart and a crown. And I remember thinking, oh, I have to take this chance. I have to say hello. And so I remember turning to her as she was leaving, thinking this may be awkward. And I said, I really like your bracelet. And she said, oh, thank you. And she just sat down immediately and said, are you a believer? And I was like, yes, I am. I was like, I would love to just chat with you about like work and faith. And we sat down and we just immediately clicked. And what was amazing about that, she said that the last 2 months at that company that we were working at, that she'd been praying for a prayer partner, and wow, that she had been doing prayer walks around our major headquarters where all the executives sit. And I looked at her and I was like, you found your prayer partner. Like, I've been wanting to do just that. I just haven't mustered the courage or the energy or the time to do it. But because God put it together, I'll do that with you. And so the very next day, we went on a prayer walk that morning. And I think, again, God was really gracious to someone who was nervous and unready.
Oh, he's so good. He's so good. So, okay, I know a lot of people listening to this podcast either are in this place or they have friends who are in this place where they are just asking for one other person in their workplace who is a believer, you know, who may catch a bigger vision, you know, for their the reason why they're at their company or whatever. So what kind of piece of advice would you give to somebody who's in that isolated place or knows somebody who's in that isolated place?
Yeah, I'm going to answer that with a story as well. But I think the overall answer is to pray. And I know that that's a really simple answer, but I can definitely say in every workplace that I have found myself, prayer is what really unlocked a spiritual realm that I have not seen. And then God is able to bring people into the mist. And I think there are some really practical things in terms of fellowships. A lot of companies have Christian fellowships, like Christian email chains. I think asking around and being a bit nosy is actually not a bad thing. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So kind of just finding out, I'm pretty good at that. I said when I land in a new place, I'm pretty much like, tell me who's Christian immediately. Mm-hmm, and so that has helped. But I think the one story that I really think about is when I was at that huge technology firm in China or in Asia. I think what happened was like I didn't know anyone there. And so I actually started praying. I remember praying every other day, just saying like, God, can you please bring someone to me in this office? Can you please bring someone to me? It was a very simple prayer. Mm-hmm. And I do remember I was standing next to the coffee area, and the woman who was a senior director of marketing, she stands next to me. And I don't know what happened, but literally we started talking about church for some reason, and both of us looked at each other and she was like, you've been who I've been looking for. I've been praying for another believer. And I was just like, and the two of us collectively started a prayer ministry at that company in Asia. And that really sparked a whole nother miraculous work that God did. But I really do believe that it began because my heart started turning to God and asking mm-hmm. him to provide. Mm-hmm. And I think we often ask him to provide a lot of physical things. I think God's always asking us to provide for the spiritual, and he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. I think so often we become overwhelmed in the workplace mm-hmm. because we think we have to do it on our own, mm-hmm. right? And I just love what you're saying. It's actually God wants you to ask to go with somebody, and he's going to provide that person. So, you know, I know that you are really passionate about business as a mission. I don't know, how would you define that, and where did that passion kind of come from? You've been alluding to it.
Yeah, business as missions is such a broad theme, but when I think about it, I really do think this phrase that I think A.R. Bernard says, he says, we don't realize the marketplace is actually the biggest mission field, especially in this generation. The marketplace to us in this generation is like what medical missions was like back then, and being able to spread the gospel across the world. And I do think that what we often don't see is also that the marketplace is the biggest mission force, because that is really how we're going to change this generation and what people care about. The values, the ideas that we see that are shared stem very much from the influence of a marketplace. And so for me, business as missions basically just means bring kingdom culture into the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And like, how do we flip what the world constantly is trying to say with what God is trying to say mm-hmm. and bring that in a very human way? And so that's relevant, but it also is able to change hearts and transform cultures and cities. Yeah. So that's kind of how I would define business as mission. Yeah, I'm super passionate about it because I have seen the impact when God moves in giant organizations and is able to take, especially leaders. I feel like when a business is run by someone who is so passionate to see the kingdom come, we have seen in Asia, we have seen cities transformed because this one man stood up and said, I'm going to operate my factory differently. And they had worship sessions in their factories. They were seeing people get saved, hundreds get saved on a monthly basis. And the way that the factory operated, the way people were getting paid changed, everything shifted, and the profits shifted and how they allocated it. Like we're talking like kingdom flip, and the world sees something completely different. And that's when we know that something has shifted both physically and spiritually. And so that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I desire to see the kingdom come through that vehicle.
Wow. And it's interesting that you mentioned this one individual, who, you know, this man who is leading, because I think sometimes people will say, it's a whole corporation. How can you change that? You know, one little prayer walk, what is that going to do? But how would you respond to somebody who says, what can just one person who's carrying the kingdom bring to a whole corporation?
And I think this is where it can get a little more nuanced in terms of what your role is. So I think in that guy's case, he was an amazing entrepreneur, CEO, who was able to really drive change from top down. I think a lot of us, specifically myself, in more middle management, we are in a very interesting space where we probably touch way more people than he does. Because when you think about it, he has probably like 5-10 people that directly report to him. On our end, we're touching peers, colleagues, top down. We're influencing on all ends. And so when you think about what the gospel really is about and how it actually transpires, it's actually through people. And so I actually believe as middle management, we actually have a ton of impact and influence that we're able to wield because of just the number of people. I probably talk to at least 20, 30 people a day. And so when you think about that level of communication that you're forced to have normally, you can actually use it for the kingdom. And I think that's why what I love talking about a lot is just, I think we get so caught up in the physical that we don't really see what spiritually is happening in a workplace. And so the story that I love telling is when I was in Asia, and I was working at that big company there, but I was an expat. I remember one morning I woke up and I heard God say, Jericho. And I was just like, what? And I heard him say, walk around your company 7 times while you're in the office. Walk around 7 times and just pray. Pray for the walls to come down. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Because our office is situated in a way that everyone can see when I am actually walking around 7 times and how awkward that would be in a professional setting. But I heard it pretty strongly. And I was like, okay, God, if you're serious, I'll do it. And I remember doing my first lap, praying, thinking I was looking ridiculous, doing my second. By the third time, this girl that I had known for a while at that company comes up to me and says, hey, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just taking a walk, you know?
Just walking.
And she's like, that's super cool. It looks like you're getting some exercise. Can I join you? And I was like, sure. She joins me and we start walking together. And she's like, hey, I've been thinking, I know you go to church, that church on Sundays, right? I've been wanting to go back. It's been a long time. I was wondering if you could take me next week. And I was like, what? I was like, I would love to. Please come with me. And then she's like, cool. And then she's like, thanks for the walk. This is great. I'm going to sit down now. And she sat down. And I was like, that's unreal. And so I just kept walking into my fourth, my fifth. By the sixth one, another brother comes up and he's like, hey, like long time no see. He's like, I know that we were been meaning to catch up for a while, but since I'm seeing you walk around, like I figured it might be a good time for us to like just kind of catch up. And he's like, I heard you have a prayer meeting that you're doing with the other sister. He's like, I've been wanting to join, but I haven't been able to make the time for it. And I was like, why don't you join this week? And he was like, I would love to. And I was like, okay, cool. And so he joins. And the very last one, by the seventh one, I just said, kind of finish around where the secretary is. And she is a local. I haven't talked to her much about Christianity or anything, but I just felt the courage to say, hey, like, I want to invite you to my woman's Bible study at my house. She's like, when is that? I was like, it's tonight. She's like, I'm free. I'll come. And I think what I realized in that, literally, it was like a 15-20 minute thing that I did, that spiritual walls were falling. The ones I had not seen that existed in the office. And God was doing something of some magnitude that I could not understand or explain, but he was shifting the atmosphere so that certain things could fall into place. And again, it is so much bigger, and the unseen is way bigger than what we see. And I think that's such a lie that the devil gives us, that what we see, the visceral now, is what we need to deal with immediately, and that's what's important. Mm-hmm. But I think what God is showing me over and over and over again is that it is the unseen that matters, and what will last, what is eternal. Mm-hmm. And it is so hard sometimes to bring in the workplace, but that's what prayer does, and that's what a prayer walk does in the office. It just tears down a lot of those walls that we don't know exist.
You know, it reminds me of what one of the leaders who was recently here, Shayla Visser from Canada, she was saying, you know, evangelism, but I think it can apply to this, just any type of openness to God wanting to join him in mission, you know, is joining the Holy Spirit in what he's already doing. Yes. And it was as if God was already working in those three colleagues' lives.
Exactly.
And you just needed to show up.
Yes.
And there were these yeses, just boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Just bringing in, I think, a spirit of humility and a desire. It says God goes where he's most wanted. And I think in that, I was just bringing a heart of like, God, we want you here in this workplace. And I think he just showed up.
Yeah. And I think another cool thing was that you, though you're talking about the spiritual realm, you are also physically showing up in your colleagues' lives. They know you're there. You're making yourself more visible, like literally more visible. And I think even making yourself available for more relationship than just, hey, can you send me that email? Hey, that was a good project. We're going to debrief it. Like, what more is there to the whole human that is sitting across from you at the table?
I think that is the hardest thing about the workplace. And if I were to be really honest, I think so many of us are type A. We're so driven. We want to get the project and we want the results. And so I almost believe that some of it is probably Satan allowing us to be consumed by our busyness and our need to succeed, our need for recognition. It consumes us. And because of that, we can't see, just the people that they're just relationships that God's bringing into our lives. And we just, and this happens to me a lot. And I think that's something that God's constantly bringing to mind of, I've called you there to love and to be Jesus in the workplace, but you're just so caught up with this other persona, or this other person that you need to be, that you end up completely losing sight. And I think it happens to a lot of us.
I know it happens to me too, but it's also so cool to hear stories that, okay, it literally can change right now.
Yep.
Let's transition. Jess, we got to spend some time together in Dubai, which is just crazy to say, isn't it? But, you know, it was a time where we got to gather together with a group called The Next Move of leaders under 40 representing 40 plus countries. And all these leaders had similar passions that you clearly have, that I have, for the church, for cities being transformed, and for the next generation to be a key part of that transformation. And first, can you just tell the listeners why, when you were invited to a group like that of pastors, nonprofit leaders, business leaders, why something inside of you said, I have to be there?
Yeah, definitely. I think one thing that we've said a lot is that it's so rare to be with people that are like-minded and kind of the macro level of wanting to see God move across ministries, marketplace, and missions. And I think to be around younger generation who are all collectively passionate and unified with this one vision, it does feel like it's just different than carrying that on your own. And so when I heard about that and when I was invited, I just had to see what God wanted to do in whatever it was. And to be honest, I didn't even know what to expect when we went to Dubai. I just knew I had to be with a group of people like that and that God would do something amazing. And I was just so expectant to see God move.
That's fantastic. And I remember seeing you there, Jess, and you were just lit up. I mean, I just felt like you were like a kid in a candy store because of having just that common affinity with other people. So you represented specifically the marketplace out of, you know, your area of influence. And most, I would say probably, what do you think, like two-thirds or more represented ministry or nonprofit.
Correct.
And so how do you think you engage in conversations when we're talking about the city, you know, city transformation, the church engaging in the city? How did you engage in those conversations differently because of your presence and influence in the marketplace?
I think it's really interesting that I feel like we often don't bring enough marketplace folks into the room when it comes to these types of conversations. And I think some people think that they don't care or that they're not interested. But I actually think that what I was able to bring to the table was really a different way of thinking and approaching problems, and that really have come from a decade long of working in corporate. I think there is a certain type of analytical like data and also just really thinking through like structurally how we tackle a problem and also just the level of bringing in like, what would be like for profit? Like, how do we think about sustaining this level of investment, and what does it mean to really raise up and mobilize people but also be able to sustain that trajectory that we want to see, and what are the goals and outcomes and things like that? And I think there's just a different type of language and experience that we've had in the marketplace that I definitely like brought into some of those conversations. And I think the most fun that I got to bring, because I come from branding, was a lot of consumer insight. And I think especially consumer insight around the next generation. And this is not a negative rap on any ministry or missions, but I do think that sometimes corporations, because they are just so hungry for that next dollar, that they will do whatever it takes to understand the hearts and minds of the consumer, especially the next generation. And they will do whatever they can to really trap those ideals. And so the research that we've done is amazing, top notch, of knowing that what they're looking at, why they're looking at it, what makes them tick, and really what is the common language that they're having right now, and being able to speak and being relevant to them, but also being able to push the envelope of what culture should be and where it should go. And so I think that's really where companies have really pushed the envelope in, so that, because that directly translates to dollars for them. Being able to capture the hearts and minds of consumers translates to dollars. And so there's this like eagerness and almost, yeah, this desire for that I think I have internally because of my corporate background. And so I remember constantly being able to bring up, but what does the consumer mm-hmm. really want?
Or who is the consumer?
Who is the consumer? Yeah. And who is the target consumer? And are we really talking about the same consumer? And I think because that same level of understanding who that consumer is sometimes is not as common in the Christian dialogue, that we end up missing out on really being able to reach them where they're at mm-hmm. versus trying to draw them in, and sometimes it's not as effective. And I think companies are constantly, especially with this next generation, because what we're seeing with this new generation is that they don't want big companies to define them. They know who they are and they're going to stand for that. And that's a very deep consumer insight. Basically, companies are begging for their time now. It's not about I wear this nice brand on me. It's about, no, this brand helps define my holistic identity. And so if Christians are tackling it, saying like, no, you need to be this way, you need to believe this way, people don't care about it. They don't want someone telling them what to do. They want to be collaborators. They want to co-create. And so if we're coming at the wrong angle, we're never going to capture the hearts and minds of the very people that we want to get to know Jesus. And so being able to bring that perspective, I think was really great to be able to do.
That's really insightful. And it's wildly refreshing, but also I feel like some listeners and even something inside of me says, wait, but that's disconcerting. Like, why would we even say somebody's a consumer when it comes to nonprofit or the church, you know?
Yeah.
So how would you kind of maybe translate those same principles? But also, I think what you're saying is so important, that we need to know who we're talking to. We need to know who's sitting on the other side of this, you know, message or vision. So how would you kind of transfer some of those principles?
I just think about in Jeremiah, it says he has set eternity in the hearts of man. And so actually for me, when I think about insight and when I think about consumer, I actually go back to that verse, in that God has created and wired all of us to desire things and for certain wants and identities. And the problem is, as usual, people are trying to fill it with the wrong things, and companies are very glad to help in that process. I think as us, as ministers, as ambassadors for the gospel, what we can see, maybe instead of calling them consumers, it really would be, who are these people we're trying to serve, and who are these people we're trying to fill with the reality of the gospel, and help them to see that there is something so much more about their identities, about who they are, that we can actually fill those empty spots with who God is and who God made them to be. And that actually that answer will much better outweigh and also be more long-lasting, be more sustainable, be more impactful and helpful and useful, which is actually what a lot of this generation is looking for, something that's useful mm-hmm. to them, than all these other things that the companies are trying to feed them. Like, none of that stuff will last. What will last and what will be truly practical and purposeful, which are the two P's that this consumer generation is looking for, sits very squarely in the gospel. And so when we think about being able and not being manipulative in any way, but really just bringing in front of them what their hearts have already been designed for, it's almost like a 1+1=2 equation. It's not one that we're forcing or manipulating anything. It's actually just the fact that their hearts will be able to see in a really tangible way. We're just being able to share it in a way that really resonates in their heart. And by doing that, we're actually allowing the gospel to become very personal and real in their lives. And so that's kind of what I love about really thinking about it from that angle.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. That's really, really good. You know, a lot of the leaders we work with, some would call, you know, very entrepreneurial. They have these ideas. They're like, let's take this big risk. Like, why not try to, you know, get a meeting with the mayor and invite 20 pastors and say, how can we serve the city? Let's just go for it, you know? So they have that we're going to take a risk. We're just going to take a step. And you've worked in startups. You know what it's like to kind of have an idea, go for it. What kind of advice would you give to that type of leader who has that passion? Maybe they're in business, but they have that kingdom-minded, you know, heart. Maybe they're in ministry, church. What would you give a leader who's entrepreneurial, wants to take a risk in their city for the flourishing of all?
I would say we need more of you. We need many more of you.
Yeah.
I feel like there's not enough risk takers in the Christian world. And I think we need a lot more in the coming days. And so one, I would encourage you to continue and not to be afraid. I think secondly, I would say do not do it alone. I think one of the biggest issues that we see with entrepreneurial types, including myself, is that we just try to push through. We're driven. We just try to push through and do it versus really forming a really strong board of people that are wise and experienced and have also done very successful startups in their own right, kingdom-minded startups. There are a lot of them out there, and there's some amazing organizations that provide that coverage for that. And also finding peers. I think those who are entrepreneurs, again, often crash and burn because they don't have a really strong community of peers that are like-minded and pushing. Because the things you'll experience, the things that you'll struggle with will be very different than non-believers in the entrepreneurial space. The questions, the decisions that you'll have to make will be very, very different. And so I definitely encourage a lot of peer, a regular peer meetup that you're able to have. And then also just, I would recommend being very baked into your community. I just think, again, like because you're so busy, do not let busyness be an excuse to just take you away from being with the church body, from living life and from, yeah, living and breathing faith in it. Otherwise, yeah, it will be very easy to just burn out and crash because we see that a lot as well.
And what would you say maybe to one of these entrepreneurial leaders who actually doesn't have a business background or maybe intimidated to talk to the business person that they're aware of, whether they're in their church or, you know, network? They're like, man, I feel intimidated or maybe like irrelevant asking them to be a part of something like this. Like you said, maybe there's the fear that they're not even interested. Yeah. What kind of advice would you give to just have a conversation or invite them out?
At least for all the marketplace people I know, if anyone came up to them and said, like, hey, like, I have this huge heart. I really want to see this happen, but I'm not exactly sure of exactly how to kind of make it happen. I think every marketplace person would be, one, flattered, and two, absolutely excited that God opened a door to have a conversation like this. And I think, I honestly, if I were to say from my perspective, we just know so many people in the marketplace that are believers. So few of them have really been able to leverage their marketplace experience, their business acumen for the kingdom, for the gospel. I would just say it's just so appalling, actually, how little of us have been able to really exercise it. And for the most part, when we work with church people, when we work with ministry, it's like, can you package this food, you know, on Sundays? Can you can you like do rides? And which, again, are amazing things. And everyone's happy to do that. And we all want to serve. But I think what's really sad is that we don't get to use the giftings that God has given us and that we've also painstakingly put in like 10 years and a lot of money and energy building.
Yeah.
And to not be able to use it for the kingdom is really a waste. And I just think I don't think anyone that I know, at least in that space, would shy away from that conversation and from doing something.
So you're saying it really could be win-win.
It is definitely a win-win. There is a deep need among marketplace leaders that are of faith to be utilized in those areas for the kingdom.
And then as we kind of take a turn to close, what would you tell your fellow business leaders when it comes to maybe they're just doing their 9 to 5 or their 8 to 7, depending on, you know, just how type A and driven. But what would you tell them, just encourage them to expand their vision of what it looks like to live as a person of faith in a level of influence in the marketplace setting?
Yeah. I think I would say 3 things. One, I would say don't be alone. I think find and be plugged into a community in your workplace, because it's the unity that we see, just like we talked about unity in a city, it's unity in a corporation of believers. When they come together and they pray and they're able to be a city on a hill, it just starts making a world of a difference. And so I would say do not get caught up in your own world and in your own things that you end up losing sight of what God is doing in your space and the place that he's placed you for a reason. I think secondly, it would be busyness is an enemy. And I think we love feeling productive. It is just, I think, the bane for our generation. We can't sit still. And we just want to be purposeful. We want just constantly to be known for something. And I think I would ask just to lay down all that you have every day and ask God, how can I be faithful today? How can I be like Jesus today? How can I humble myself today? I think asking yourself that on a daily basis will make a world of a difference in how you show up in the workplace. I think lastly is just to pray. Pray for the workplace, pray for yourself, pray for your coworkers, pray unceasingly so that you may see the kingdom come in wherever you are.
Fantastic. And Jess, when we think about how we can pray for you, I want to hear, what are you dreaming for? With all this passion, with all this vision, you're seeing God move in business as mission, not only in the States, but also in Asia. What are you dreaming for personally that we can join you in prayer for?
I would love prayer. I've had a vision for a long time to see just a ton of fruit in Asia. But I'm learning as I'm in the U.S. that U.S. also has a place to play. And so if you could pray with me as what does it look like, God, for you to move across Asia, mobilizing people in the marketplace? And for me specifically, it's women. Like, what does it look like? Because I don't have an answer. And I'm asking the Lord myself of, what do you want to do to unify, to mobilize, and to move across Asia in the marketplace, to transform, to leverage these marketplace leaders to move into the areas that are impoverished, broken, so that we see hearts healed, lives transformed, and literally communities changed. But I think we need God to lead that and not us. So I would just love prayer as we move into the season of asking for vision and purpose in a way.
Absolutely. Well, Jess, we are so encouraged to have just heard not only the stories you've shared, but just the super practical things that we can apply in our settings, you know? And so we hope that you guys were encouraged by listening to Jess's story. And Jess, thanks so much for stopping by. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
We hosted an event called Show and Tell in Portland to elevate the conversation on evangelism. We recorded these live 20-minute talks by Shayla Visser, Greg Steer, and Mark Middleberg so that people like you can access them for free. If you want these 20-minute videos, go to palau.org/showandtell. That's palau.org/showandtell to access these content-rich videos to inspire your organization and you personally to share the gospel with courage, enthusiasm, and dependence on the Holy Spirit. We can't wait for you to access these resources.
Thank you for listening to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where we celebrate and accelerate collaborative gospel work in cities around the world. For more resources, show notes, and to get connected to gospel movements around the globe, visit citygospelmovements.org. That's citygospelmovements.org. Keep believing in what God can do in your city.